time that we get together,
we become family. We share life together on Friday nights is what we do. We get together, we get personal, we get to know each other. We learn to love each other in spite of all of our faults, fears, and failures. We love each other anyway on Friday nights. If they'll let me get up on Friday night and talk every week for 5 years, they will accept you. Guarantee that they will. It's an awesome time, though, because, you know, sometimes we just need more. I want to encourage you to go for more this year. Go for more of God this year in 2014. Because last year just, maybe it just wasn't enough for you. So this year, go for more. There's step study. Men's is on Tuesday night at 6:30. The women's is on Wednesday night. There's always Friday night at CR. For those of you that came to our 5-year celebration 2 weeks ago, I thank you for coming and celebrating with us. I thank you as a church body for welcoming Celebrate Recovery, because as this lesson is tonight, this morning, I say tonight, we're going to talk about sanity a little bit. And on Friday nights, there's a bunch of us that are still half insane. We were fully insane for most of our lives, but you guys have accepted us and loved us. You've welcomed us for the last 5 years into your body and let us become part, and now it's our body. And we thank you for that. Greatly we do. So this morning, as we get into the Word, I want us to go over a principle this morning. It's a very simple principle that so many times we just take it for granted. It's earnestly believed that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me. Isn't that simple? Earnestly believe that God exists, that you matter to Him, and that He has the power to help you. The simplicity of that makes it so hard to get. Acts 4 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Hebrews 11:6 says, anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So this morning, I'm not calling you crazy. Well, maybe some of us. But not all of us. And those of us that are in denial still, I hope that we can come out of denial. What is insanity? Insanity has been defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result each time. So all of us have that in some aspect of our life. We walk in insanity. We do the same thing over and over and over, but yet we expect a different result. Sanity has been defined as wholeness of mind, making decisions based upon the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we learn to make our decisions based on Him. That's all of our decisions. Life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So insanity has been defined as doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I was going to put a picture of me, what I looked like 8 years ago, because it's only by the grace of God that I stand here today. Yeah, E. It would have probably put most of you into shock because it's just amazing what God can do. But anyway, I was going to put a picture up there because my entire life I walked in insanity. I did the same thing over and over and expected a different result. And as I found this picture the other day, it just showed me that God is capable of anything. I weighed about 118 pounds. You could see every bone in my body. I didn't have a shirt on in this particular picture because I thought it was cool, you know. Sucked up. I looked like death. And it made me realize that until I started walking in sanity, while I walked in insanity, I was walking in death. I was walking in death. And I look rough. I do. And I should have put it up there just to see you, to let you see what insanity really can look like. See, and all that was, that picture shows the outside effects of insanity. But the truth is that on the inside is where the hurt is. It's where the problem really is on the inside. That's where the insanity really takes place, is on the inside of us. And the outside that people see is just the surface things. It's kind of like in your garden. Some of us garden in here. You know, we go out there and we clip the top off that weed, but we leave the root and it comes back time and time again. See, at CR, we learn to pull these things up by the root. That's what this step study does. It's what walking in sanity, when we are sane, we learn to pull these things up by the root. So Jesus offers the truth, the power, and the way. because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to give you an acrostic today. Normally I do a fill in the blank because I love fill in the blanks. With the fill in the blank, I write it down and I learn it so much better for me. I do, but I didn't do that, so sorry. So I hope you have pencil and paper and you can write it down. I'm going to use an acrostic today for the word sanity. What I'm going to do is give you some of the gifts that you receive when you walk. I keep saying insanity. It sounds like insane, doesn't it? When you walk with sanity, when you walk with Christ, I'm going to give you some of the gifts that you receive this morning. So the S in sanity stands for strength. We receive strength. And I think E made me one. When we accept Jesus Christ, we receive the strength that we need to face the fears that in the past have caused us to fly, to fight, to freeze, or to flee. That's what fear does. We either fight, we freeze, we flee. So we receive the strength to stand up against these things, these circumstances in our life. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I love the beginning of that. God is our refuge. What is a refuge? It's a hiding place in times of trouble. It's a place, God, we can go to God and we can hide in these times of trouble. He'll protect us. It's a place where he just puts us under his wing and he loves on us. God is our refuge and our strength. And an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Psalm 73:26 says, my mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all I ever need. Relying on our own power and our own strength has gotten us into trouble time and time again. All of us can raise our hand and say that we've tried to figure something out, tried to do it on our own. Friday night, I tried to preach on my own. It was miserable. Oh my goodness, it was so miserable. I just wanted to put the mic down and go home. But you know what? That proved to me that without Christ, I'm powerless. I'm powerless without him. I can't. Paul said, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I can't carry it out. He said that in Romans 7:18. See, because I know that without him in my sinful nature, I can't do it. I cannot do it on my own. He's my strength. He's my refuge. My own powerlessness, my own weaknesses, my own sense of inferiority. See, because when I come up to the stage, I always remember, like this morning is nerve-wracking for me. Because I love my pastor dearly. My pastor is a very wise man. As E said, man, his shoes are pretty big. You like my shoes my daughter picked with those bright red shoelaces? Speaking of shoes. You know how you know you're getting old? When your kids pick your clothes. Because you're just not cool no more. We're in the store, and I'm like, I need some new shoes. And she picked up these bright red shoelaces. I said, really? She said, oh, yeah, Dad, they're cool. So, hey, bright red shoelaces, they're cool now. That's how you can tell when you're getting old, when your kids pick all your clothes. My weakness has turned out to be one of my greatest strengths. What did Jesus tell Paul in 2 Corinthians 12? Paul prayed 3 times for this thorn to be removed, right? Jesus said, my grace is enough for you. He said, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. So many times we try to rest on our strengths, our own personal strengths, because we have those. We have strengths, we have weaknesses. But where's his grace going to come in if I'm always strong and I can handle it? See, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to say, therefore, I'll boast in my infirmities and my weaknesses. I'm not talking about going around the world and saying I'm a defeated person and walking like that, defeated. But I'm talking about God, talking to God and telling him, I struggle with this, God, and you know that I do. I need your grace in this area because I'm weak. I'm talking about being real, not with God. So many people have the right answer. They know right when to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, and all that. But then when you get down and you talk to him, you can see that just life is beating them up. And when you talk to them, they don't say the real thing. Is everything okay? Yeah, it's great. No, God wants us to be real. We don't have to have the right answers. We just have to have real answers with God. And that's all he's asking for, us to be real with him. Be real with other people that we're around. Quit walking around in denial all the time, saying that it's great. God came in where my helplessness began. 7 years ago, September the 22nd, when I finally admitted that I was helpless, that I could not do it on my own, God came in and did for me what he can do for you. In my weakest moment, he came in and his strength began to grow in me. And he can do that for you. See, but we have to reach that point where we realize that on our own accord and our own strength, we can't do it anymore. We have to. And that's hard. Hard to do because that's not what we're taught, is it? We're taught that we can do this. We can figure this out. We can make this work. I got a big water because I knew I'd be really nervous and I'd need a lot of water. But that's okay. You know why? I'm uneducated, but you know what? I've been with Jesus. A lot of us in this room think that we can't do things because we're not capable. But that's okay because I don't have to be capable. He didn't call me because I was equipped, but he'll equip me after he calls me. Now, yes, I have to pick this up every day, and I have to spend time with him to draw my strength from him every day. Because as pastor's been teaching us lately to read our Bibles daily for that strength in those times of need, at CR we teach reserve a daily time with God. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life. See, that's the same thing that pastor's teaching us. We just word it a little bit different. Because it's so important. And pastor said this is either his third or fourth year reading the Bible through. Stick it out. We're all going to get behind a day or two, but pick it back up. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged because we get behind a day or two. Keep reading. Push through. Pick it back up right where you left off and go on. Might not finish on that 365 day that you thought you would, but that's okay. I've always been the late finisher. Running E, I'm coming in like six hours behind E. But you know what? I'm going to finish that race now. I'm going to keep pushing through and finish the race at least. Used to, I'd throw my hands up first half mile, anything, and quit. But you know what? He's my strength. He's my source. He's got to be your strength. He's got to be your source. So the S in sanity stands for strength. The next letter, the A, stands for acceptance. Acceptance. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then for the glory of God as Christ has accepted you. So many times when we come to Christ, we start looking at other people like this. Or down our nose. We don't look at them at the level they're at anymore because we're not there anymore, right? Because we done got saved and we got right. See my hand shaking? That's nerves. Acceptance. We have to accept other people just like Christ accepted us. Right in the middle of everything I was in, a full-blown crack addict, Christ accepted me. See, I'm to accept people wherever they're at too. Right where they're at, we need to accept them. Another aspect of the acceptance, I never felt accepted. I never felt a part of anything in my life. Even the drug addicts didn't want me around because I was so insane. They kicked me out the door, you know. Go on, man. Here comes Ramsey. Oh, no. Time to hide. Lock the door. And if you know anything about tweakers, they're peeking out the window anyway. So they see you coming before you ever get there. Because they're watching. They know. But I never felt accepted. See, God accepted me in spite of all my failures, in spite of all my fears. God accepted me, embraces me, and loves me. And that's what we're to do to other people too. Yes, by all means, I despise drugs. Absolutely. But I love the drug addict. I love the person. Yes, I despise the act that they do. Because I know what it does to them. I know what it does to their family. I know what it does to everyone around them. But we got to love them. Accept them. He accepted me. We learn at this point too to have realistic expectations of ourselves and other people. So many times we look at other people that are around us and we set unrealistic expectations. We do not accept them for who they are, for their fears, their faults, and all of that. I love the serenity prayer. We need to remember to pray this and ask God, give us the courage to change the things we can and to accept the things we cannot change. See, there's certain things that I can't change about anyone else at all. I just have to accept that and love them in spite of all those. My wife loves me in spite of all my stuff. She shows an unconditional love to me, which that's the love of Christ, isn't it? An unconditional love. It's not dependent on anything that I do or don't do. He loves me. He loves you. Just like you are. It doesn't matter what you did last night, what you do when you leave. He loves you. Nothing can separate us from the love, it says, from his love. So as our faith grows and we get to know Jesus better, it becomes easier for us to accept them as they really are, not as we would have them be. Because see, so many times Christians want to be fixers. We want to be fixers. You know, I'm not the fixer. See, that's not my job. My job is just to provide a place for God to be God. See, I couldn't fix myself. You couldn't fix yourself. So what makes us think we can fix other people? He's the only one that can do the work that needs to be done in me. It's only by His grace that that change comes about and stays. That everlasting change that we look for, that's only found in His grace. Not in me nagging at my wife because of this or that. Not at me telling this person, man, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's not going to change them. It's going to change them. They're not going to talk to me no more. Then how can I show them the love of Christ? Yeah, it's going to change the direction. I'm going to walk away. Accept people. God accepted us. And we're accepted. It feels good to me to be accepted somewhere. When I walked into this church 13 years ago, for most of you haven't heard my story of how I became a part of this body of believers. Kind of funny, actually. Pastor probably told a little bit of it a few weeks ago. But 13 years ago, they were building, 14 years ago, they were actually building this building. And I was hanging drywall at the time. Pretty rough, I was. I'd gotten in some trouble, though. And anyway, our loving pastor, who has a compassion for people, who loves the broken, who loves the lost, who loves the lonely, our pastor does. Do you know that? Our pastor has a heart about that big. He loves us. By the way, Pastor, if you're watching, we miss you. But anyway, I'd gotten in some trouble, so Pastor accepted me. I was up here working during the day, hanging sheetrock, and at night I was going and doing community service at the recycling center. Seeing he accepted me just like I was, he said, Jason, let me talk to the judge. I happen to be having lunch with him today. He come back the next day, and he said, hey, you can start doing your community service here at the church. So see, he accepted me just like I was. And then 8 years ago, yeah, I've got a record with the people of this church. 8 years ago, I was high on crack, eating pills and drinking, and headed to the crack house to get some more crack. And I rear-ended a lady that went to church here. Hit her at the stop sign, and I was pretty retarded. I would show you how I was acting, but I don't really want to embarrass myself today. But anyway, I rear-ended a lady that went to church here. The cop that arrested me went to church here, and Pastor pulled up on the wreck. Yeah, you think I'm supposed to be here? Yeah, I think I'm supposed to be here. But you know what each one of these three people did? They accepted me. They didn't one time point their finger at me and say, I can't believe you've done this. What is wrong with you? Do you have any clue what you're doing? They said, are you okay? You need help. We love you, is what they said. Even the cop. Man, I didn't like them either. They weren't nice. And he said, Jason, you know, you need a cigarette? He said, you're going to be okay. That was the beginning of my downfall that actually got me to Christ, though, because of their unconditional love. Their acceptance was the beginning of my transformation right there. And it was awesome to see that. The cop and the lady that I ran into don't go to church here anymore. But Pastor's not leaving, so he's still here. But you know what? That showed me that those two things in my life there showed me that I could be accepted somewhere and loved unconditionally. Because drug addicts really don't love each other. When you turn around, they stab you in the back and, you know, do all of that. But which brings us to the next letter, insanity, which is one of my favorites. New life. New life. See, I had to have a new life because my old one wasn't working. It was killing me. So I had to have a new life. And sometimes, see, for some of us in this room, our old life is more of a slow death. You know what I mean? Mine was pretty rapid. I was headed that way quickly. But our thought process still isn't quite lined up where it needs to be because we're not renewing our mind. See, we're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Some of us just keep walking in insanity because we haven't found that new life at all. So in the pits of our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups, we know the feeling expressed in 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. It says, we were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how hopeless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God. See, I saw that I was crushed. I saw that I was overwhelmed. I saw that I could not do it. And that was good because I put everything into the hands of God. Have you put everything into the hands of God? You know, and His hands aren't like mine. He can't only hold so much. He can handle everything. He's unlimited. He can handle it all. Everything and anything. On our own willpower and our own resources, we can only do so much, which is not enough. We need a Savior. We need someone And his name's Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That verse goes on to say, God alone could save us, and we expect him to do it again and again. See, the penalty for our sins was paid in full by Christ. You know what? It doesn't matter. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Share your salvation experience with me. Well, I'm a good person. Yeah, but you're not good enough. He's the only one that's good enough. Because that first verse that I read, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jason Ramsey can't save Jason Ramsey. Jason Ramsey can't save you. New life only comes through Christ. And we need new life. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. I learned it in the King James, but I'm going to give you the Living Bible this morning. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. It says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. See, my old hurts, my old habits, my old hang-ups are passed away. A lot of them did instantly. Some of them are. It's a process. New life. Are you walking in the newness of life? Or are you still saying, you know, I'm a Christian. I got saved in whenever. When I was 3. But when I look back at my fruit tree, there's nothing on it. My tree's bare. What'd Jesus do to that fig tree that didn't produce nothing? Cursed it. Withered up, didn't it? Are you really walking in the new life that Christ offers? Are you really walking in that newness that you claimed at that day when you claimed salvation? Are you really walking in that newness? Or are you just walking? I don't like just walking. I'm not much into exercise, though. You know, so I don't like just walking. I want a goal. I want a purpose. I want a point that I want to reach. So in this new life, I'm reaching for a prize. I'm walking in the newness for a purpose. And I would have never expected that God would have given me the purpose that he's given me, ever. I remember one time in Sulphur Rock, the house that I met my wife in. When I was in that house, I don't even know how long ago, other than certain points in my life, dates kind of run together. But back in my addiction, I was in that house and I was partying with people. And I said, you know, when I get off drugs, I'm going to help other people with the problems that I've had. See, our God is a God that brings those things that are not as though they are. Those things that you're right in the middle of right now, when you get into that new life, you can help other people come into that new life. Because you can relate to people in a way that I can't. You can reach them right where they're at, stuck in the middle of their hurt, habit, or hang up. See, addiction was my thing, so I talk about it a lot because I know the misery that it brings. Maybe you've been divorced, but you have new life now. Maybe you dealt with depression your whole life, but you have new life. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and you're walking in the newness of life now. Maybe you've dealt with illnesses, but you're walking in that newness of life now. Reach those people that are still stuck in the middle of that old life with the newness that you have. Maybe you could go to the hospital and go to those rooms where the people are in there and they're just hurting. And you were once in that same hospital and you can bring that newness of life to them. Or are we too scared? Scared will say the wrong thing. See, don't worry about what I'm going to say sometimes because you know why? The Holy Spirit gives us what we need to say. And he will. New life. I love the new life because my old life sucked. It was horrible. Horrible. It was misery. And I love to see people get saved. You know, last year at Celebrate Recovery, we had over 30 salvations in 2013. That's a yay God. That's a big yay God. See, at CR, I like it because we see people that come in and they're not scared to say, you know what? I'm broken. You know what? Life is misery. And that's what I love about CR, because usually it doesn't take long for us to start admitting that we're powerless. We're helpless without Christ. We need a new life because the old one didn't work it. That's what I love about Celebrate Recovery. By the time they come through the doors, they've usually already hit bottom. Not always, but usually. The I in sanity is for integrity. I didn't have any of that. We gain integrity as we start to follow through on our promises. Other people start trusting us. They start trusting what we say. If we say we're going to be somewhere, if we say we're going to do something, they start believing us. Integrity. The Apostle John placed great value on integrity. He said, "Nothing gives me greater joy than to hear that my children are following the way of the truth." Because as we follow the way of the truth, we walk in integrity. You know, remember that a half truth is still a whole lie, right? So many times we try to embellish just a little bit because it makes us look better and feel better. And, you know, that's still a lie. A half truth, it's a whole lie. There is no little white lie. And yeah, and yes, I'm still guilty of it. I'm not saying that at all. He's still working on me. Hope he's working on you. I know he's working on me. Because every time I tell a lie, I feel bad. And then my kids do. Well, you did? I'm like, oh, wow. You know, we lead by example, don't we? In every aspect of our life. You know what a lie really is? It's the result of a weakness and a fear. A fear a lot of times of someone seeing the reality of what's going on in our life, the truth. So we tell a lie to hide it because we walk in fear. I don't like lies. My daughters, you know, I remember one of my daughters' very first whooping in her life was for telling a lie. You know, one thing, as we walk in integrity, you know, and we learn to discipline our children, we learn to discipline them out of instruction and not anger anymore. God doesn't discipline us out of anger. He disciplines us out of instruction is why he does that. So that we'll be better, correct? To get us better. So as we walk with our children, we do the same. The truth often hurts, and it does sometimes. It's not easy to tell the truth sometimes because we know it's going to hurt. But did you know that a lie leaves a scar? If I were to tell my wife a lie today, it's going to leave a scar. And how long is that going to take to heal? Because I lied. If I tell the truth and deal with it and get over it, it's going to heal a whole lot quicker. It is. So the T stands for trust. We begin to trust people again. We learn to trust Jesus Christ, ultimately. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, it says, "It is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, but if you trust the Lord, you're safe." So as we let go and we let God, as we let go and let God, you know, we have to let go and let God. We can't just hold on to it and expect him to do it, right? We have to release it and let God have it. So as we learn to let go and let God, we begin to trust people. We begin to build relationships with people in church, in our life group, and Celebrate Recovery. And these aren't just fair weather friends that just want to be there in the good times. This is what we call at Celebrate Recovery our forever family. So you guys are my forever family. Because it's not just a Sunday morning, but we're saved, so it's forever. So you're my forever family. See, and that's what we need in our life is forever family. Because so many times we have fair weather friends. When the weather's great and the sun's shining, they're right there beside us. First storm cloud that blows in, man, there's nobody around you. You're hanging out with the wrong people. Trust. Get plugged into a life group this year. They're going to be starting back in February. Please get plugged into one. More. Remember what I said earlier? More. 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 I know godliness with contentment is great gain. I want more of him. I don't want to get stagnant. I'm very blessed in the aspect that when I came to Christ 7 years ago, see, I did older in life, so I'll get burnt out older in life, right? Came to him at 30, so I'll make it a little longer. Some of us that got saved at 6, by the time we're 60, we're like, man, been doing this a long time, kind of bored. We just kind of sit back at the edge of things and watch it now. We're not so involved. See, I want to stay involved until he takes me home. Right there at the beginning. We'll be right there with him until he takes me home. Until my work here is done for him. But we learn to trust people. Real friends who walk with us through life. That's what we need. Everyday life. That's what I love about life groups. Living in fellowship every day. Life groups are awesome. Living in fellowship every day. So many of us just see each other on Sundays. Or we just see each other on Fridays. And then when those clouds blow in, we're standing there all alone. And the enemy loves that. He loves to get us isolated, doesn't he? Get us over here by ourselves, thinking we can do this on our own. So when we get isolated, what's he do? He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes creeping in. Don't be isolated. We're family. We're forever family. forever. But let's start here being family together every day. Let's trust each other. And yes, all occasionally in life, even the ones you trust, you know, the ones that go to church with you, you know, they feel a little poke in the back, you know, where they kind of, ow. That's just life, man. Get over it. Shrug it off and get over it. You know, don't let it offend you and walk out the door and don't come back. Offense is horrible. I want roots so deep in this church with pastor that I don't care what he says. If he's following Christ, the winds of offense ain't going to blow me back and forth. Ain't going to make me fall over because I'm going to have roots so deep in Christ. For one, pastor isn't going to do that because his best interest is our best interest. Because somebody else said a little something about me behind my back and kind of stabbed me a little bit. Man, I got scars on my back from people stabbing me my whole life. Get over it. We're grown-ups in here, aren't we? It bothers me when people come up to me and go, me. They want to share their offense too. Loan it to me. Please don't loan me your offenses. I deal with enough of my own that I'm getting rid of. Don't loan me yours. If there's a hard time with somebody, yeah, we can talk about it and pray about it, but please don't do that to me. I want to trust people. I want to trust people again. Growing up in the realm that I grew up in, you didn't trust anybody. You knew better. If you trusted them, as soon as you finally went to sleep 3 days later and woke up, your house was empty. On more than one occasion, everything's gone. Wow. Their phone's done changed the number and you can't find them. It doesn't happen anymore, praise God. So the last letter in our acrostic, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, loves you just like you are. See, I didn't quit doing anything to get saved, born again. But when I got born again, I quit doing everything I used to do. Born again means that a whole new person. A new life. He loves you just like you are. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8 says. No matter what comes your way, together you and God can handle it. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Psalm 68:19 says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it said, but when you are tempted. It didn't say if, it said when. You know, and each of us have different types of temptations, don't we? Whether it be money, whatever it is. I don't know what your temptation is, but I guarantee it's going to come your way. But when you are, He'll provide a way out. Thank you for listening to me. You know, I was nervous. I was. Extremely. But you know what I realize in life? It's not about me. It's not. That new life, less of me, more of Him. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not only guaranteed eternal life, but we also have God's protection in times of trials. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Christian life is a daily process. It's something we do every day. It's not just something we do on Sundays, not just something we do on Wednesdays or something we do in our life group. It needs to be a daily process, a daily walk. And we need to realize that we can't do that on our own, though. We need Him every day. Every day, have to have Him. We need a power greater than ourselves, and His name's Jesus. Because so many days, circumstances overwhelm us. But when we feel overwhelmed, remember that God is our refuge, and He is our strength in times of trouble. Because the one who's in me is greater than the one who's in the world. We don't have to walk around defeated. By all means, I should walk around with my head hung down low and never look anyone in the eye if I still carried the guilt and the shame of the things that I've done in my past. But you see, I know that I've been forgiven. I know that I'm a new person. I know that I have a God who loves me in spite of me, unconditionally and everlasting. He loves me the same way that He loves you, unconditionally and everlasting. I didn't change anything to get saved, but when I got saved, everything changed. See, I smoked a crack pipe right up until the time, January the 16th, and then on September, and then September the 22nd, He came into me, He made me a new person. Yeah, I wish he would have done a little bit with this too, but he didn't. You know, still praying about that. But it starts in here. Hey, this is what it is. I've learned to accept it, like it, and go on with it. I don't have to accept everything in here and in here that I don't like, though. See, because I can get rid of it and renew it and get rid of it. This, I'm stuck. My bright red shoelaces and all. I'm stuck. But I don't have to settle with these hurts, habits, and hang-ups that I've carried around my whole life. I don't have to settle with them anymore. Neither do you. Have we got a prayer team this morning? Prayer team, come up here. This morning, I want to ask you this morning, are you struggling? Hey, Robin, will you come up here for me? I'll just call my wife out. I can do that. This morning, I want to ask you, are you making decisions based on the truth? Wholeness of mind is sanity, making decisions based on the truth. Or are you still doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? Because we need to learn to walk with Christ. And as we learn to, see, all these people up here can help us with these things that we've been doing over and over again. Because where two or more come together and we pray, right? He'll be there to help us with it. So this morning, I just want to ask you, do you walk in that newness? Do you know Christ? See, for me, it all starts with that salvation. It all starts with coming to know Jesus Christ in a personal level. Getting to know him personally. I thought I knew him. See, because when I was little, I found these pictures of me where I'd been baptized. Go for it. But you know what? For me, that wasn't what I needed. I needed that personal relationship. Today, I want to ask you to come up as I pray. If you feel led to come up here this morning, if you don't know Christ, I pray that you get to know him. Any one of these people can pray with you. If you just need that newness, they can pray with you. Father God, I thank you for getting me through this, Lord God. I thank you for your word. Lord, as your word goes out, you said that it will never return void, that will accomplish the reason that you've sent it for, Lord God. Father, be with us as we leave this building today, Lord God. Help us to walk in that newness each and every day. We just love you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.